You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
I want to welcome you to Panel Sunday, always a highlight for us. Last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. If you're not there, go there. It says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." You know, we talked about last week the fact that yes, God is concerned about you having a car that runs, about having you having a nice house to live in. He wants you to get a raise on your job.
Amen.
Except those that work for me. He wants you to get a raise on your job. He wants you to have a physical healing. But all of that is because of what he wants to do in you. Mm-hmm. What he wants to do within you. Now, all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish more than you could even ask or think. You know, life in this imperfect, fallen world can produce all sorts of things on the inside of us that God never intended us to live with. I want you to know right now, God never intended on you living mad. He never intended on you living angry. God never intended on you being consumed with jealousy. God never intended on you living with worry or with fear. God didn't. He came that you might have life and life more abundant. Right. He didn't want you living depressed. He didn't want you living your life lonely. God doesn't want you living your life stressed out. Hurts that take place very early in life. Mm-hmm. Some of you abused or used or gone through tragic things in your young life. And you're very, very wounded and hurt. God doesn't intend on you living your life carrying that hurt.
That's right.
Some of you have gone through some real crises, crises in your life that hurt you, the emotional wounds. God doesn't intend on you living your life with that emotional wound. He wants to work through his mighty power to accomplish infinitely more than you can ask or think.
That's right.
Inside you. Mm-hmm. God, by his mighty power, wants to heal your hurt. Mm-hmm. He wants to heal your bitterness. God wants to heal. He wants to calm you being stressed out. God wants to do a work inside you. To discuss these issues that want to kill, steal, and destroy us, that want to rob us of our joy, we have a panel today with us, Cameron Oliver, Abigail Odom, both, they're no longer seniors in high school. As of just a couple of weeks ago, they are graduated.
Yeah.
They graduated from Christian Ministries Academy, and we are thrilled to welcome them into adulthood with all of the benefits of paying bills and having a job. We welcome you here to the bill-paying part of life. Also with us, for those on podcast, we have Josh Barnett, our student pastor, Paul Kern with me, our associate pastor, and we're excited about sharing what God's got on our heart and continuing what I talked about last week. Abigail, you and I were talking earlier, and you had some things I said I want you to bring out. What was that you were talking to me about?
Well, this whole panel, obviously, we've been talking about how important it is to have God within us, and I think something so important to understand is what that means to have God within us, and basically, it just means to have God within you before you can ask for him to work on the outside of you. And we so often see people asking God for help with their finances and their health and their addictions and their relationships and everything they're dealing with, which is all okay to ask for help with all that stuff, but mm-hmm. oftentimes we'll ask God for help with all that before we actually intimately get to know mm-hmm. him.
That's good.
And have a relationship with him.
That's great.
And I was comparing it, it's like having a rich grandma or like a rich family member that you only go to when you need their money. And so like you'll call them and be like, hey, I need more money. But you never actually call them to go out, like just talk to them,
right.
or just go out to eat lunch with them, or
no
you never
good.
Actually spend time getting to know them. And here they are providing for you when you need them, and they mm-hmm. love you so much that they're providing for you, but you're not giving them the love that they're giving you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's important to understand that for him to bless the outside, he has to intimately know what's on our inside. And we all, a lot of times we hear, ask and you will receive, but we kind of take that out of context. In John 15:7, it says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So ask and you will receive if he abides in you. So when God and his word are in your heart, that's when he'll bless your exterior.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to bring it into a practical sense, I remember a time period in my life whenever I was dealing with some depression and some insecurities. And just to look back on that, I don't remember anything external or from the outside that helped me walk through that. It was only internal means that helped me get through that. It was only by taking a step back and saying, God, I'm just going to let you do what you do, because nothing from the outside will fulfill me or help me overcome that. Mm-hmm. You know, so for whatever it is, pride, lust, laziness, I think a lot of times we'll try to overcome and try to receive joy from things, you know, if I can get that new truck, if I can get that raise, if I can get this or that. And especially for teenagers, something I think that is a lie in our culture, especially because of social media. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, you see only the good sides of people's life, and you see, if I could just have that, if I could just have what they have, the family they have, or you know, the car that they drive, I will be happy, I'll be fulfilled. And so I think there's a lie in culture that says, if I could have this external mean, it'll fulfill me inside. And looking back on my experience in life, the only thing that helped me overcome was just taking a step back and letting God work inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great.
Really
that's
good.
Great.
Really good.
I think that's a real temptation for all of us, you know, in life. I like what Cameron was saying, and it's great that, you know, you start figuring that out when you're younger instead of when you get way older in life. But we're all tempted to think that if I lived in a different city, if I had a different boss, if I made more money, if I had a newer car, if I wasn't married to this person, or if I had a different boyfriend or girlfriend, then I would be satisfied and fulfilled. And the truth of the matter is, and this is why we're talking about this today, that truly only lasting contentment can come from God being inside of you. You having that connection with him.
That's so true. And we are natural people. We have cars and houses, but we just continue to focus on, if I just had this situation changed in my life, instead of focusing on God in the midst of the situation I'm in now, do a work inside me.
Yeah, just thinking about all this and growing up, and just to share some of my testimony, when I was 11 years old, and all in 1 week, my dad walked out on us. We had a major car accident, and our house burned down.
In 1 week?
All in 1 week, 11 years old.
Man.
And then 2 weeks later, my mom was like, we're going to move to Arkansas. We lived in Mississippi at the time. So lost my dad. We lost our car, lost our everything in our home. It burned completely to the ground.
Wow.
And now moving schools, no friends, no church, no moving up to Arkansas. And so really kind of struggling through that, going through preteen and teenage years of anxiety, depression, stress, all these things that you really shouldn't have to deal with as 11, 12, 13 years old.
Right.
And going through all that, and the only thing that caused me to heal from that was really living in a relationship with Jesus, living in a relationship with my Heavenly Father, and getting on my knees before him, because he worked that out inside of me. He was able to heal me. And honestly, I mean, it's Romans 8:28. God worked all those things for my good, for his glory now. And what the devil meant to you, he used to try to destroy me, to try to take me out, and wanted me to continue in a generational curse or whatever. God is now using all of those things to help other people through my life. And so it's really cool to see. It wasn't cool at the time, but to move to the place where I'm at. And I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, Josh, stop asking why all these things are happening, because we can't answer that. But what God will answer for you is, what do you want me to do now? And when I flipped that perspective and said, okay, God, here I am, use me, that's when he began to work all those things out and set me free from all of that hurt and anxiety and stress and fear that I was going through.
I mean, it's tragic at 11 years old in 1 week that happened to you, but tragedies happen for everybody in this building.
Yeah.
I mean, we live in a fallen world. And bless your heart. Well, bless everybody's heart. We all face tragedies.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, what a good line. What was that?
Stop asking why, God, and start asking, what do you want me to do now?
Man, what a deal. Cameron, you read a scripture earlier to me. What was that again that the Apostle Paul was writing?
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, we're talking about outside circumstances. Paul immediately comes to mind for me. He said in every situation he is content. But you look at Paul's life, First of all, God promised to Ananias. He told him that Paul was going to suffer. He was going to go through tough circumstances. Paul was kidnapped. He was beaten, threatened. He was arrested multiple times. And in all of this, in all of these circumstances, he still stayed faithful, and he relied on God to just move and do a work inside of him. Mm-hmm. I just want to read this really quick. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, he says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." So, I mean, just looking, like, even at Joshua's life, the things that that he went through, in any circumstance like that, you see in Paul's life, you can't let the outside affect how you are inside. And so you just see through his life, he just took a step back and he relied on God, and he put his trust in him.
That's really good.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to interject and just say, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi the letter of Philippians and told them to rejoice, mm-hmm. to live in joy while he was in prison. Mm. Guys in prison. And he's telling you guys who are free, y'all have joy.
And that's the point here. We want, if I was just out of prison, if I just had a different if I just, you learn that. Mm-hmm. You learn that. Mm-hmm. Abigail?
Something I think is really cool, talking about having God within us, is how powerful it can be when we have God inside of us. And it's not just like, we can't just use having God within us to help just ourselves. Sure. We have to use that to let it overflow and to help the people that are around us. Mm-hmm. Because when God is in you, that means that God's going to be around you. Mm-hmm. And I think that we see that in Acts 15:5 when the sick were healed by Peter's shadow. Mm-hmm. That like blows my mind to think about. They were bringing the sick to lay them on the ground so that when Peter walked by, his shadow would hit them and completely heal them. Because the power of God was in him so strong that it was overflowing and that it was going to be around him and hit the people with his shadow. Mm-hmm. And something so cool is that Jesus said in John 14:12 that we would do even greater things than that we would do that and more. And it's just so cool to think about how God, having him within us, gives us the power to do even more than have our shadow heal people and even more than walk on water and feed 5,000 people and all this stuff. We can do even more than that when God's God
isn't
in
that,
us.
That's something. That's
the
something.
Holy Spirit, like the Holy Spirit's in us, but he also, he wants to get out of us in a way. Ephesians 5:18 says that we're to be continually filled with the Spirit.
Right.
And so we're supposed to be filled up to where we're overflowing. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were meant to be filled up and poured out, filled up and poured out, filled up and poured out. A lot of people say that. I think we were meant to live in that place of devotion with him, to where the Spirit constantly fills us up and it splashes out of us on other people around us, really. And I love this verse that we're using, 3:20, is that God wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And so whatever limits we put on God, like, we've got to take those off, because he wants to do more in us and through us than we could ever imagine. And I think many times when we put limits on him, that's a lot of times just religion. And we think that he won't break through, or he won't come through. We have to take the limits off of him.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I want to take just a quick break here and talk to our podcast listeners just for a moment. We have been working for several months on, we've got 3 cameras now to be able to video our podcast. So very soon here, just in the few weeks, you're going to be able to watch our services, not only just listen to them.
That's
so we're looking forward to doing that. But at this point, we're not quite there. We're just a day or two away, or a week or two away from that. So I just need to clear some things up for those who are just listening. Here on stage is a panel of folks on either end. Cameron and I clearly are the most spiritual up here. We both have a pad and a pencil, take notes, hear from the Holy Spirit, say what God has for us. We have 3 other that have brought their TVs with them. What, y'all got your cell phones? You expecting a phone call while we're doing?
No.
And then bring your bottle of water. Cameron and I will get thirsty, but we decided to eat our pimento cheese sandwich after. What do you got your water up here and your cell phones and all? But anyway, for those on podcast, when Cameron and I speak, y'all listen, because God's going to move. I'm not sure what these other 3 up here are doing with all of this stuff. Y'all get you something to drink after the show's over, for crying out loud. Abigail, you and Cameron, I mean, you know, it's for y'all being here with us, and I want to ask you to give some godly counsel to our young people. It's easy for the young folks in here that are in school, our junior high and our high school students that are here in school, they can look up here and see Josh old and outdated and just so removed from where they are. And, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But right here, we've got two that have just graduated. They know what it's like to live in junior high and high school and the pressures and the stress. They don't deal with anything. Well, our young people are dealing with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And there are some serious issues up and down the junior high halls today in our schools. Serious issues. Yeah. And God needs to do a work in our young people. Mm-hmm. Abigail, we'll start with you because you're the prettiest one of the two. Okay. Abigail, give us some godly counsel here for our young people.
I think something that is so important, obviously it's important to have God within you and have that relationship with Him, but something practical is you have to have a good attitude about whatever it is that you're going through. Especially when you're in junior high and high school, it's so easy to just find the next thing to always complain about. And I know, because I'm a girl and a teenager, and we are the most complaining people in the world. we find everything to complain about. And yeah, girls can be a little bit crazy sometimes, and I can say that because I am a girl. So it's important to always have a good attitude about anything that you're going through, sure. Because having a bad attitude is just going to make it so much worse for you. You know, if you're stressed out because you have a test on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and you're just freaking out because, oh my gosh, I have a test, I have to study for all of this, and I also have to practice for basketball, and I have to do this, and I have to do that, and I can't handle all this, and you just spend all of your time complaining about it to all of your friends, and just gossiping and complaining, and just making yourself feel sick with worry, and you're just making yourself you're making it worse for yourself by just spending all of your time complaining and having a bad attitude about it. So it's so important to have a good attitude about what it is and try to find the good in what it is that you're going through and what it is that you're doing. Like, I know with Brookhill, it's going to be so easy to complain about how, like, the weather and how hot it is or how tired we are, but it's so important to have the best attitude about that possible and to know why we're there and to remember what it is that we're doing.
I like the word that she continues to use, have. Mm-hmm. You have to have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You have young people, well, not young people, all of us, we want our situation to change, then we'll feel better about it. Mm-hmm. And Abigail is hitting on a real key. Mm-hmm. You have to have a good attitude in the midst of you've got a test and you've got a stress and you've got a this and you've got a that. And you have to have a good attitude. Mm-hmm. Back to the scripture that Cameron said earlier, whatever the situation you're in, you have to look for the best and have a good attitude. Mm-hmm. Cameron, give us some godly counsel here, some godly wisdom.
Well, for me, it all comes back to one word. And I mean, if you've ever heard Josh speak, you've probably heard him say it. I've heard him talk about it in youth group. But the word is proximity, and it's nearness to the Father, being close to the Lord. And, you know, all through high school, you know, especially for a teenager, there's going to be things in high school, friendships, family life. There's going to be different things that come up and arise, and there's going to be different things that you have to go through. And nothing external has helped me through it. The only way I've overcome any sin or any problem in my life is by taking a step back and just letting the Lord work inside of me. I found that a lot of times I have tried to overcome something by my own means, trying to do it myself. I can get through this. I can fight this addiction. I can overcome this situation or this problem if I just work hard enough to do it. But I found that a lot of times I'm the problem. I'm the one in the way. And I found that only times that it really works is whenever I take a step back and I say, it's not about me, and I get on my knees in the secret place. Mm-hmm. And I found that the secret place is key. Through high school, I can say I'm definitely not perfect, and I've had problems, and I've been through some things. But my high school years were very great by the grace of God because I got on my knees and I spent time with Him. Mm-hmm. And that's the song we were singing in worship. It says there's freedom in His presence, and the freedom of your circumstances, what's going on in life. Really, I found that it's in His presence.
Yep.
And for me, His presence was key.
Really good.
Very good. Paul, a lot of us here know some of your upbringing and a little bit of your testimony, but not everybody does. Catch us up on some of the things that you experienced. You've got every reason in the world to be bitter. You know, you look out and for all of us, if you're out here and you're looking at somebody up here, well, they don't know what I've gone through. Well, they don't know what I'm dealing with. Well, they don't know what I... Well, God can do a work within everybody here but me, because, see, God can't touch what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we've all gone through difficulties. Mm-hmm. Paul, share just a little bit of some of the things...
That's good, Tim. I appreciate you saying that about, you know, we look at other people and we think
we
that.
All do.
I remember when I first came on staff here when I was a lot younger, and Tim was my boss, And, you know, it was just like, wow, you know, Tim doesn't have any problems. He doesn't deal with any issues. You know, he's just this great leader, and he's got it all together. And in your mind, you're tempted to think, well, they really can't relate to me because, you know, they don't struggle with the things that I struggle with. So I appreciate you pointing that out, because I think there's a temptation to think that about people, especially maybe people who are over us, people who are in leadership. You know, I think about, you know, some of our younger adults here, as you're looking at older people in life and you see where they're at and you're like, wow, you know, they're doing so great. I don't know if I can ever achieve that place. But I want to encourage all of our church. God's grace is sufficient for us. Right. You know, Tim mentioned my upbringing, growing up in a broken home with an alcoholic father, lots of dysfunction in my family. All of my siblings were on drugs. I mean, it was just, it was a mess. It was a real mess. Nobody really even knew what they were doing. And of course, the divorce and abuse and all of the things that happened growing up, it definitely made it very, very difficult. But Josh mentioned this even for himself. God just has an ability to take the things that we've gone through and make them work for us. And one of the things that I've always said, and I say this all the time, God will never waste your adversities if you let him.
That's good. That's good.
But that, and that's really what we're all about up here. You have to allow, like Tim said, you have to allow the Lord to work in that process. Right. And I want to end with a scripture, Philippians 1:6. I pray with great faith for you because I'm fully convinced that the one who began this glorious work in you will fully continue. Now listen, the process of maturing you, and he will put the finishing touches to it until the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're all in process. None of us have arrived, so we walk in faith, trusting in the Lord.
That's so good. Really good. Josh, back again, now 11 years old, your dad walks out on you. Y'all have a, you and your mom have a major car wreck, and then your house burns down. You got every reason in the world to hate God. Sure. There is no God.
Right.
With God, where are you, and why did this have to happen to me? I mean, you, with inside you, you could be a very bitter, angry young man sitting in prison right now.
Right. No, for sure. And it's really, it's God's grace, His grace on my life. And Cameron was saying it earlier. It was just, it's living in proximity to the Father. I think a lot of leaders and a lot of ministries try to just figure out the reason that way people are, like why the way you are the way that you are. And I think that's fine, but there's only one answer to all of your problems. There's only one answer to all your problems, and it's not management of the problem. It's freedom from the problem, and that only comes through Jesus.
Right.
That only comes through proximity to Him. It only comes through a relationship with Him. And I got that on my knees. I got that in relationship. You know, I think many times coming to church, I think sometimes can be like a placebo, but it's not. Coming to church is great. It's important to have a community around you that supports you, but it's really living in that secret place with Him, because no outward teaching can compare to the inward power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so it's all about the Spirit's working in our life to do that. We're talking about just parents in first service, just how parents dealing with teenagers and junior high, kind of struggling with this type of thing. Or what they're going through. And if I got some advice for some parents this morning, don't freak out. If your kids come to you and they're struggling with something, don't freak out. I think many times when they're struggling with things, we try to grab the reins and we try to, and we slam doors and you're grounded forever and all these things. If that's just gonna, that's gonna cause them to rebel more. And so have grace for them. Have the Father's heart for them. And, you know, you want your lap, you want your knee to be the safest place for your kids. You want it to be the safest place for your kids to help them process, to help them walk through, to pray with them and lead them in direction on how to overcome what they're struggling with.
That's so good. You know, and when you said that earlier, I remembered a huge mistake I made when Terry and I were first married. And she locked her keys in her car downtown, and she called me. And I went down there. I had to stop work. I had to go down there, and I couldn't have been more wrong. I was ranting and raving and furious. I was boiling over, and how could you do such a stupid thing, and how could you be such an idiot, and on and on and on. I just wrecked like that. And it, you know, sometime later I thought, out of all the people in the world she could have called, she called me. And because she knew I could take care of it, I would help her, I would handle this, I would get her out of this difficulty she was in, and I couldn't have handled that more wrongly. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes right along with what you're saying, Josh, when our kids or when anybody mm-hmm. comes to us and pours out their heart or their need, there's a right way to handle this sure. thing, and you can't just have yeah. a knee-jerk reaction.
Right. And if you handle it the wrong way like that, then they're just going to go to somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And yeah. they're not going to process the things in their heart that's going on, and you want them to come to you. You want them to come to you, and so you want to have grace, and you want to lead them the way that the Father would.
My wife was in a very hurtful, very difficult situation, and instead of endearing her heart mm-hmm. to me, I made her mad and turned her away mm-hmm. from me. And it's just sure. the way you handle it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that's good advice for our parents. Cameron, you'd said earlier that we overlooked something that you wanted to bring out. What was it that you said you wanted to bring out?
Paul touched on it. It was exactly what Paul said. But the internal growth in your life is a process. And it's not something that just happens at the snap of your fingers. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to leave church today and after a day or after a week, that anger that you walked in or that lust you're struggling with is not gone. If it's not gone, I don't want you to lose all hope.
Right.
Because internal growth is a process. Like Paul said, you have to walk in faithfulness and walk in it and trust God to do that work in your heart. And whenever it's not done just right then and there, don't just lose hope because God moves in His own timing, and mm-hmm. you just have to put your trust in Him and know that it's a process.
Mm-hmm. Abigail, I just wanted to hit, too. You live in a very difficult situation. You've got a hard-to-deal-with brother that you live with.
Yeah.
You're talking about a difficult sibling situation that you're in, and bless your heart with the brother you have.
Terrible
situation, I tell you. How do you know, just with just those inner struggles with siblings yeah. and living together, what's a key for you?
It's definitely taken having God within us to survive that. Me and Connor live together. It's just me and my older brother. And when I moved in with him, I hadn't lived with him since I was 13. So I hadn't lived with him in 3 years. So we didn't really know each other that well as much anymore. So then we moved in together, and it was like we had to kind of get to know each other and get to know what bothers each other again. Mm-hmm. It was like, you can't do this, that's going to bother me, or something like that. And we definitely had to learn each other, and I think that's something we have to do with God. We need to have a relationship with God where we know what we need to not be doing, and where when we have such a love of Him inside of our heart that even when our brother forgets to tell us that he's having friends over that night, a million friends over, and doesn't tell you over and over again, forgets to tell you, you have love and grace and forgiveness for him. And it's very important.
All of us. And the point that I want to make today, all of us have inward struggles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all have inward struggles. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, God's concerned with you, another car, or your physical healing, or whatever it is. But God wants to work within you. Mm-hmm. God wants to work within your yeah. heart. Paul, real quick, you really work a whole lot with our expand group, mm-hmm. that out of school group, and you're talking about a difficult place.
Right.
Now, a lot of fears, a lot of worries, a lot of concerns. I mean, you're out there walking on water. What's a real key thing that you try to hone in on with that age group particularly?
Right. Well, I think Abigail really summed it up. You know, really everybody here has mentioned this, and it can come across as sounding cliche. But, you know, all of us in life, when we face things, we all have coping mechanisms that we're mm-hmm. going to...
We do.
They're going to affect us. You know, we're either going to, you know, get another boyfriend or get another girlfriend, or we're going to go shopping, or we're going to binge Netflix, or we're going to take a prescription, or we're going to get a smoke, or whatever we're going to do. Everybody has these triggers in our life.
That they cope with.
That, mm-hmm. that we cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, we have to come to a place where we understand the Holy Spirit and His relationship with us in life is literally everything that we need
right.
mm-hmm. to be able to get through whatever it is mm-hmm. that we're facing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And understand, I'm not, you know, speaking against prescription medication or anything like that. I'm just saying, let your connection with the Holy Spirit be your first option,
mm-hmm.
not your last option.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a real key for us.
Good.
You know,
good.
Go
good.
To Him first.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good. I think a key today, Abigail, can you pull that scripture up in John that you read 15 a while ago? And go over that point with us, just Abby, real quick, one more time. You know, we ask what we will. Well, God, I need a car, and God, I need a house, and God, I need this. Make that point again and read that scripture that you were sharing with us.
Yeah, I was just saying, John 15, 7 says, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So a lot of times people will hear, ask and you will receive. And so people are asking for all this kind of crazy stuff. And ask and you will receive when he lives inside of you, when his word remains in you. So when he abides in you and you abide in him, a mutual abiding, that's when you ask and you will receive.
That's great. That's great.
Really good. Yeah, I will say that when you abide in him, like your heart begins to line up with his heart. And so you begin to desire the things that he desires.
Right.
Yeah. And so instead of asking for a new truck, I'm trying to figure out ways to bless other people. Not that God doesn't want me to have a new truck, but our desires begin to line up where his
were. That's really good.
You know what? I'm content with where I'm at. I'm content with the vehicle I have, with the family I have, with the house I have, because my desires become his desires.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
I think going along with that, I think you have to know the heart of our God. He's a God who cares about your heart and cares about motives. And so I think in your prayer life, you have to look and you have to say, do my motives in my prayer life line up with the motives of God? Because like we were saying, God, he is a God that cares about our outside needs. He cares about your truck, your job, these different things. But he cares about them to get to your heart. And so if we're praying for these external things just for them or for our benefit, you know, it's not the same motives as God. You have to know that he's doing all that to get to your heart and for the inside of you. So I would say check your motives.
It's really good.
Well, it's amazing every time we do Panel Sunday how fast it goes. And we look around and we're out of time. My prayer today is that that you understand you're not the only one. You're not the only one that has an issue in your marriage. Oh, if I went and told anybody in the church and we were going through it, you're not the only one. In fact, is everybody that's ever been married has an issue in their marriage. If they say they haven't, they're lying. Everybody's had an issue in their marriage. Everybody has issues with their kids. Everybody has, we all have issues that we have to work out. And that's why God wants to, Ephesians 3:20, through his mighty power, he wants to do a work within you. Absolutely, God is concerned about your outward, physical, external needs. Clearly, God is concerned with our external needs, but only as they have access to do a work inside you.
Right.
And when you walk into the house that God's blessed you with, God, I'm so grateful for your blessings, not look at this house that I bought with my hard work and my money. So it's what it does inside you. And let God work in your heart. Today, if you're filled with anger, if you're filled with frustration, if you're filled with worry, if whatever it is, I mean, and it doesn't make any difference what it is, jealousy or greed, it doesn't make any difference what it is. The point is, it's stealing the abundant life that God has for you. Your high school, your junior high years ought to be filled with fun. And if they're not, let's let God work inside your heart. Let's let God work inside your heart and enjoy your life. For a young married couple with young kids and just starting out, God wants you to have a great time of life, a great season of your life. Enjoy every minute of it. How will we pay for the house? How are we going to pay for the car? My son just put my car in gear and it ran down, crashed into his tree. Oh, dear Lord, now what am I going to do? We won't call any names. Oh, my gosh, now what am I going to do? What am I going to enjoy this time? Let God do an internal work. For those of us who are getting older and we're from one surgery to the next doctor's, Paul and I used to talk about what God was doing in our life. Now we're talking about what our doctor's doing in our life. You know, it's a good thing Paul and I are both on staff, because one of us will always be here. The other one will always be at the doctor. That's where we are right now. Hey, it's a great time in life. Terry and I are having a great time in life. We have no kids. We have nobody messing with us. Lord, tell them to leave me alone. Well, it's a great time in your life. God wants you to enjoy where you are. God wants you to enjoy the time and the season that you are now in. And whatever it is inside you that's stealing that, it's not a change in your circumstances that you need. Mm-hmm. Because when you get this fixed, it'll be something else.
Right.
When you get that fixed, it'll be something else. Mm-hmm. God wants you, as Cam read, whatever state you're in, mm-hmm. whatever state you're in, mm-hmm. that you find peace and joy in your heart. God wants to do a work inside you that's exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Y'all stand with us.
Amen.
God, today as we stand before you, each person in here, with all that we individually are personally right now dealing with, going through, Lord, everybody in here has a hurt, has a pain, has a difficult area in their life. Lord, I ask right now that you begin to do a work. Begin to do a work in each heart here, that anger begins to leave, that hurts and pains begin to leave, that wounds and disappointments begin to leave. God, we loose your Holy Spirit in our life to do a work within us as we abide in you. Direct and guide us this week.
You have been listening to the CMC podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.